Where did y'all find Shaq?
Dave Damashek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedamashek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Where did they find me, Ike? On Smart Street. That's where.
I know.
In fact, Ike Taylor in earlier this week and Cam Jordan. We had a divine conversation. I encourage you, nay demand, go dig it up. Better yet, why don't you do yourself the favor of downloading the show, subscribing to it, tell your friends, rate it, all that jazz. We appreciate it, but let's not live life in the rearview mirror talking about what those guys think about things. Instead, let's focus on who's in Studio 66 here and now. Let's say hello, first of all, to my immediate left, all the way from Michigan. You'll hear a little theme song that refers to it. She runs marathons. She kibitzes about the game of football. She loves her math, too. It's Cindy Freeland.
Daughter here to steal the show. Back in the day, she had a mullet with a funky flow, running marathons for her fitness goals. On the DDFP, she got the stat control, cause when it comes to the numbers, she's a gunslinger. She do the math in her head, she don't count fingers. No one to question the numbers, surely waste to you. She's from Michigan.
Acting
yo,
out your own song.
Why not?
All right.
Why wouldn't you?
There we go. We've debated.
It's a whether, great song.
We've debated whether or not that's vain. But either way,
I don't
listen,
care. Yeah. I don't care.
You know what, Cindy? You know what you're doing there? You're not just surviving. You're living.
I'm living.
And for that, I hail you. Then let's say hello to Cindy's left there. He is one of our very favorites here at NFL Media. And good now we are back over the moon to say face-to-face Mazel Tov, richly deserved. And it is Matt Money Smith.
Hey now.
Skinny legs, a golden voice, a play-by-play analyst. Matt Money Smith, got bad eyesight. He's
Cindy
a Chicago guy. And have you heard, he's the Chargers play-by-play guy.
Oh! Oh!
It's like a Wikipedia page, man. Just
update.
Gets updated immediately.
Wow.
Excellent. And again,
excellent.
Mazel Tov. You haven't been in here
no,
yet
I have not.
since the big news. Yes.
I have not.
Matt Money Smith, now the radio voice of your Los Angeles Chargers. This is going to be positively grand stuff. And it's interesting, too, here.
Really?
From the pod.
On DDFP, terms, we're also regularly joined by Maurice Jones-Drew, who does the color on the radio for the Rams. Now we have a Chargers guy, and as we're saying that, Cindy Freeland delivers to Matt Money Smith a handsome bottle of whiskey.
This is,
when Dave said that with the whole pod was celebrating you, I volunteered to be the pod representative to get the gift.
You did very well.
And you know what's amazing?
You chose wisely.
Well, thank you. I had some help because, you know, like those hot girls that know a lot about like whiskeys and
yeah.
So I elicited one who happens to have been a fan from you, of yours, for like ever. She's like, I grew up on God, I love him. He's my favorite. So
she did well. High West, believe it or not, Utah-based bourbon distillery.
Really?
And this
Boo
particular,
rye.
Yeah, this Boo Rye is an award-winning rye. And I love
like
bourbon, but
podcast.
I love rye even more. So thank you so
Yay!
Much. We'll drink this together.
Boo Rye. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
Money and I at a Super Bowl a year or two ago. I don't remember. I don't know anything about the booze, really, but Money has introduced me. He's
Rose.
A renaissance man, as I say.
Yeah.
He knows about all the – he knows really any subject you want to tackle, Money will know something about it. We were at a sushi place, and you said, oh, we have to get – this kind of scotch, and it was like $50 a glass or something. It was crazy.
They had Pappy.
Is that what it was?
They had
Pappy Van Winkle.
Yeah, they had Pappy. I was like, my God, it's hard to find a place that has Pappy.
Can I tell you something? Yeah. No jive. You know, that's the rule in 66. I didn't know. Like, Money's like, can you see why that's the best? I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anything about
Rosé all day for Shaq.
That's my way.
You drink a lot, I guess you maybe speaks to, you know, a quality and also a little negative about your guy here.
That's right. I had I enjoyed some Rosé just last night again. And you know what? Apology?
Not coming.
Okay.
Nope.
In this heat. It's so crisp and delicious. It's very nice. All right, let's jump
into
it, shall we?
Turning into an old woman.
Well, we talk about the Chargers, and then I mentioned that money is now the voice of the Chargers, along with who's your sidekick? Nick Hardwick.
Nick Hardwick is coming back. Yeah, he was the analyst last year for the first season. He'll be back.
Well, not sidekick. I guess that's
debatable. He'll be the analyst.
To Chris Hardwick, who I love.
I don't believe so. But they do look kind of similar. Nick's just considerably larger.
Yeah.
Chris is a very diminutive
he's
man, as am I.
Funny. He's yeah. like a nerd icon. So
but and then, like I say, we also have
by the
Maurice
way,
Jones.
How about Chris Hardwick? When you get when you are in the what was the name of the show they did together on MTV?
Yeah.
When you're in the pool for who's going to end up having more success in their career?
And, wow.
Jenny McCarthy or Chris Hardwick.
That's a great
And Hardwick one. Ends up getting out of that after Jenny was, you know, her light was shining awfully bright there for about a half decade there. Hardwick ended
great
up
call. What
overwhelming.
Was the name? Why can't I think of the name of that
Singled
show?
Out?
Singled Out.
Singled Out.
Well done.
You're
50
welcome.
People.
Well done.
That was some TV show.
Wasn't it, though?
What happened?
Are You the One is better. Have you watched Are You the One where they do these different comedy? I would love to be on that show. Not as a contestant. I would love to be an analyst on that show.
Best MTV show ever.
Catfish.
Remote Control.
Beavis and Butthead.
I would say, oh.
That oh, Beavis
Beavis
is good.
And Butthead.
Yeah, I think you might
but
have it
currently,
with Beavis.
I currently
think, yes, the late Ken Ober, with whom I worked a number of years ago. Yeah, that was a great show. Colin Quinn.
Yeah.
Think about the stars
that
you.
That's what I mean.
Adam Sandler would show up on that.
Sandler was on there. What's her name, who ended up becoming a nice B-level star?
Not Marissa Tomei.
No,
it wasn't
not Tomei.
She's
but yeah,
not
I know who you're talking about.
With the red hair. Yeah. It was a good show.
I don't know what you're
talking
about.
That was a great show.
Old man.
But you know what I think? I'm still going to go with Real World. From season one through Real World Seattle, I think those are the banners.
Yeah, it wore thin on me pretty quick.
I loved Kyle Brandt in The Real World. That's how I first knew him.
Yeah.
And Ryan.
Ryan.
It's an amazing scene if you haven't seen
it. Oh, yeah.
Ross Tucker's chief impressionist, Kyle Brandt, and roommate back at Princeton. All right. So, like I say, Maurice Jones-Drew also does the radio analysis for the L.A. Rams. And we've talked about this a little bit, but let's cover this again because I find it fascinating as football season is fast approaching. Who will win? And I'm going to let you start here, Cindy. Who do you think by New Year's Day, or actually around Christmas time, what will the kids be saying to their parents? Get me a
show me your lightning
a 17
bolts.
Chargers
yeah,
jersey.
Show me your lightning bolts.
She gave you a hacksaw.
I think so.
Show
huh?
me your lightning bolts.
I'm not going to try to do it with a good voice.
Yeah.
I'll leave that to you.
Oh, that's a hacksaw.
I'll leave that to you.
Don't forget the wild card.
Oakland Raiders.
The Raiders.
Right.
But see, they're not
soon
they,
to be Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, until they're in Vegas, then I'm going to go. I will limit the question to only Chargers or Rams, and my answer will be Chargers.
Based on
potential record, I think that they're going to have a good year. They seem like they're in a good position to have a good year, and obviously money being there is a huge factor.
Oh yeah, that'll really win the kids over.
No, well, and listen, offense tends to be things fans gravitate towards, and this is going to be a high octane offense.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think the defense at all three levels is going to be really good too.
But I think the Rams defense is better. I mean, Aaron Donald's just alone is amazing. So to me, it's the offense.
In the NFL Network's top 100 list this year.
A lot about
that Aaron Donald wasn't in the top 10. He was, I think he was 15th. Ludicrous.
Ludicrous.
I thought that was an outrage.
We have something later for you on that.
The Raiders also obviously will be in that mix. A lot of fans here still. 20 years later? How long has it been?
But nothing's happening yet. So
23 years.
It's not changing yet, right?
The Raiders have been gone from L.A. for 23 years now.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
23 years.
I mean, the thing is, like, Raider fans, you're never changing them. They will always be Raider fans. Like you said, it's been 24 years, and they are still Raider fans. So you're not going to – you're not going to
I can't
them.
Believe that number. Yeah. That's, yeah. I would have guessed 13,
yeah, no, 94.
Years.
So they're gone. They are not attainable. They will not convert, I don't believe, to especially the Chargers, because of the division rivalry. So that's not happening, and I don't think they'll become Rams fans either.
What are we going to do about these Rams uniforms, too? I know that they want to go with the white helmets, but in the meantime, now they still have the weird gold, and it's a different color blue than
St.
the
Louis
hat.
Gold.
And then the pants have a different color blue stripe on it. As I said before, it really looks like, hey, let's get to TJ Maxx and cobble together a Halloween costume. Is kind of what it looks like.
Well
hey,
done.
I want to be a I want to be Todd Gurley.
You're not a Maxinista.
For Halloween, Mom. All right, let's get the TJ Maxx. We can.
You're not a Maxinista.
We can. I got no beef with Marshalls and TJ Maxx, but I do. If you're a pro football team, you should be better put together than what the Rams are.
You have a private jet.
And the other thing is, too, I thought the Coliseum, to me, I thought, the Coliseum, it's got some history and everything else. It's kind of neat when you're inside of it.
For like a quarter.
Well, I like when they light the torch at the end, but now, I mean, I know money.
I didn't say which quarter.
What's cool is that 30,000 seat joint.
It's gonna be nuts. It's gonna be nuts.
That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be. Hey, you want a Christmas gift? How about if all goes well, Raiders Chargers New Year's Eve will be the number one requested Christmas gift or holiday gift, I should say, whatever holiday it is you celebrate. If in fact those two teams are on a trajectory to fight
up
for the
tickets
AFC
now, Cindy,
yeah, exactly.
You just gave him some whiskey.
Exactly,
though.
Huh?
Good, clever ploy, sis. Clever ploy.
I didn't even say it. So clever ploy for me.
I agree. I think the Chargers are going to do well. I don't think it's an LA phenomenon, even though the rest of the country would like to attribute that. Oh, LA, everybody wants a. They're all front runners there. Well, everybody likes winners, and I think the Chargers will be better than the Rams. Ergo, they will be the more popular team. I wonder though if they'll have such a stranglehold on it that the Rams will be in a weird. I mean, think about 8 months ago. Everybody said when the Chargers actually announced the move, everybody thought, "Oh, this is a bad move for them." Now I think it's more the Rams that are going to suffer, especially with the Raiders moving to Vegas.
Yeah, just I mean, what people forget is that the Rams left LA in the early '80s. They moved to Anaheim,
right.
And when they did that, people in LA were pissed. Mm-hmm. They were not.
A lot of people
moved to Orange
out.
County. So. And the Chargers just so happened to be kind of Orange County's team because if you live in South County, getting to Qualcomm was like 50 minutes. So they fans that liked football just became Charger fans. So the Rams kind of had that Orange County base. They left. So all of those old fans, when the Rams came back, they got excited like, oh, yeah, but this is the Charger team now that we've been going to their games for the last 20 years. So we kind of like them, too. It's an interesting dynamic in that part of the greater Los Angeles area.
What's going to really heat it up? But good if the Chargers are as good as I think we collectively think they have a chance to be, is that game you're talking about.
Yeah.
On Christmas Eve? I mean, imagine that. When the
on
Raiders,
New Year's Eve. Raiders, Chargers,
or New Year's
Eve.
Imagine that's Raiders for the title.
At Chargers. At here in L.A. at StubHub Center.
What if that's
Center.
For the division
right,
title
I mean.
Or a playoff spot
in
or something like that?
In front of 29,000 people.
Rams will be done by Halloween. I mean, they're not in contention for a playoff spot and all that.
I think it'll be better this year, but.
Agree.
I'm not saying it's like last year.
Now let's talk something else. L.A. money. We love talking NBA ball with you. What do you make of the Magic Johnson regime with those Lakers?
I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit more down on this than most are.
I feel like everybody's down on that. Why would you?
Oh, really? No, everybody's excited. They just assume that if you're going to dump D'Angelo Russell along with a $70 million contract, you know that Paul George and LeBron James are coming. I mean, they are already getting their LeBron James Laker jerseys stitched, in the parking lot of the Merle Harmon or whatever they're going to. So, that to me is. Until that happens, I'm just going to grade the trade based on what the trade is. And you gave up a guy that was pretty damn good. Granted, he's a lunkhead and he's got to mature, but he's only 21 years old.
Right!
And 21 in basketball, those are, though.
I mean, but, I think you saw, it's someone who's got a 40-point game, multiple 40-point games in him. I watched him at Ohio State because I do the Big Ten. He was miles ahead of other guys in that conference. It just, I don't know, it felt like it was giving up an awful lot
swing. I don't know why Magic would have felt this way about D'Angelo Russell, but it is clear that the Laker fan sentiment was, for whatever reason or reasons, they were not excited about D'Angelo Russell.
No.
I don't know if it was...
He's just a lunkhead.
I don't know if it was Porzingis, if the Nick Young thing, that he just, when you watch him play on the NBA floor, he clearly, his greatest virtue is not... lightning quickness, he's a different kind of player. But if you kick him to permanently out to the two, and then you draft Lonzo Ball, I feel like, well, that's not so. That would have been kind of nice.
I mean, to me, it's just it's a TBD. If in fact he gets his $60 million worth of cap space, and that results in two huge superstar top 20 players, it doesn't have to be LeBron, but if it's Paul George, and it seems like Paul is hell bent on getting to L.A. Even that's worth it. So you're kind of trading.
Paul George is.
You're trading D'Angelo Russell for Paul George. So if you can put that together, okay, great.
Then
I'm fine with
as
it.
As it stands, though, you gave away the number two overall pick
from
for
two
Brooke
years ago.
Lopez.
Yeah, for not even really Brooke, because they don't want him. for an expiring deal. They just wanted to get rid of Mozgov's contract and Brooks' $22 million come off the books in 18 so they can chase two free agents. So just I tell people, just take Brook out of it. They're not keeping him. He is not going to be a Laker.
I never thought he would be a Laker.
Do you, Cindy, think that Lonzo Ball works out? Who do you like him as an NBA prospect, or is the old man getting in the way of all that? I like when you watch him play. He's exciting, and to me,
oh, when you watch him play, he's amazing. And I don't think his, like, for as much as we like to think his dad's like a big distraction, a lot of that is like some media hype, right? Like if you put him on and give him the stage and he'd, like, whatever.
I think you can probably say, if you're Magic Johnson, listen, we're gonna take you, but the old man, we're just not gonna.
Well, the old man can't tangle with Magic. Magic's the most beloved sports personality in Los Angeles history, so he can't. He's from
East Lansing, Michigan. What?
And LeVar is smart enough to know I can't win this. I can win against Colin, and I can win against Stephen A. I'm fine there. It'll be polarizing, but I can. But I can't beat Magic.
It's kind of like when Tim Tebow was over everything, right? Like, nobody was like, oh, well, you know what? We're going to clamor around to make him a part of our team next. Like, it just, you know, it's a media story.
Football's different, too.
If you watch Ball, then he's that talent is undeniable. So he would really help the Lakers out. But I think it's a made-up story. I think it's a farce.
Like, philosophically, would you rather be – or do you mind what the Sixers are doing if you're a Philly sports fan? I mean, how long can the process last for it to be worthwhile? This has gone on forever already.
The 76ers have – like, they draft very high, and then they get hurt. And then it's kind of not fair, because, I mean, if you're saying your team has, you know, there's five people playing at one time, right? So if you think that this number one prospect, which he's – Washington didn't – whatever. People can say, oh, you know, they didn't win. Or this guy didn't – I think he
– They won nine games. It was brutal. But they lost,
But this kid's a – like, people are like, oh, he doesn't know how to win. Yes, he does. I think he lost something like four games in high school. Like, some crazy small – like, that's ridiculous. So – if you look at that and you say, this could be up to 20% of my team at any one time, that's a huge difference. If you believe that that's going to make this big of a difference, go out and get him. Like,
I'm all right with Philly. I mean, I'm all right with what they did. They weren't getting any free agents. You know, nobody was going there.
And when they
made that run, what did it get them? It got them an 8 seed. All right, you got Elton Brand, you got Drew Holiday, right. You got Thad Young. It's a nice team. You're not winning anything with that. So let's just
It's worse to be an NBA purgatory.
Exactly.
Right.
Let's tear it all down. Take as many swings as we
can.
That's
fair.
You know,
what would you rather be a fan of then in NFL terms? Would you rather be in the 21st century? Would you rather be a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan? Rarely flirting with the playoffs, but you do have the Lombardi Trophy near the start of the century. Or who's a perennial playoff participant that never gets over the hump? Like the Bengals kind of thing?
Well,
who's worse to be a fan of? Or better to be a fan of, I guess. Chiefs of late are always in the playoffs, it seems, but they never really...
Maybe I'm jaded from like working in this industry, so you kind of either like a player or don't, or you tend to like teams based on players for kind of no reason. But I really like what Tampa Bay is putting together.
Oh yeah, I agree with that.
You know, like, they're kind of fun and exciting, whereas like Cincinnati, you're like, until they're like, what are they doing that's super different? They got rid of their whole
O-line. This cloud of inevitability hangs over you the whole season. It's almost like you can't enjoy your 10-win season
O-line.
Because all you care about is that one playoff game that you know you're going to lose. You know,
Whitworth, Zeitler.
I'm just speaking to the question, right? So what would I rather have?
Same.
Would I rather have a 10-win team that gets booted in the first round of the playoffs every year, doesn't win the division, wins the wild card every year, loses wild card
but
weekend,
you have 4 months of something
of
that's relevant
right.
to you. You get to watch it. This comes from, really, the larger question comes from a couple weeks ago talking to Ross Tucker that it's funny or sad, I guess, if you're a Packers fan, to look at things and say, for a quarter century, we've never had worse than the third best quarterback on our team. From Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, we always have the high-end QB. It's led us to exactly the same number of Lombardi trophies as Dilfer and Flacco have delivered to their team. Is that bad? But then I say, are the Packers the most fun team to have followed in the last 25 years?
Because you like heartbreak.
Aside from the Patriots. The Patriots you can't really debate because they've won so many Super Bowls.
I mean, the thing is,
if you kick them out, though, are they the would you rather be a Packers fan and have to deal with that, or would you rather be like a Buccaneers fan?
Man. So I'm trying to use different teams, like, because the first thing that came to mind is, would I rather be a Raiders fan or a, like, someone who has like history and – I don't know, like, because to me, the problem with being a Green Bay fan right now, and it's not a problem. But the hard part is you've got Aaron Rodgers, but like you're kind of like, oh my God, he's starting to get older. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then when you have a little hope, like you've got like Jameis Winston for the future, Derek Carr for the future, like maybe that's because then you know that maybe there's like you at least have this like you've in your, you're like, oh, like this got like, you know, another 5, 7, 10 years, maybe, you know, like you feel that way.
I'll take the team that's in the playoff mix every time.
Because you know what? Ultimately, that's
like, how many Super Bowls? I'm like, how many multiple Super Bowl championships are out there in the course of a decade? There's almost none. I mean, pretty much you win.
That's right.
You know what? Yeah. So yeah, give me my 10 wins. I'll feel excited. I'll feel, because that's like, I remember when I was and you know, I don't know when I lost it, but when I was still a super diehard fan of the Chicago Bears, and thank God I lost it, because man, it would drive me nuts when they were bad. They would lose on Sunday and you would avoid watching TV for at least 3 days because you were in such a bad mood, and then you just had this, yeah, whatever, we're 1-4 and I got a game against the Lions this week that they're probably, and it's just miserable, and it's this just march of misery for 3 months, you know.
It's I say, when you know, when the Steelers do well in the or when the Penguins win the Stanley Cup, I hail it because it gets you through winter in a bad in a bad climate. That's its point is to give you something to look forward to week, month to month
you tell me I get 10 wins for a decade and I'll be in a Super Bowl, but you won't guarantee I win it.
Wait, you get the Super Bowl?
I get to a Super Bowl,
That is actually what the Bears did.
Yeah, but I won't win it. That's fine.
Right.
But I got to get those 10 wins, 9
people
wins.
People have been debating this around NFL media, so let's tackle it. I think the question itself is a little bit bogus or a little bit overly optimistic. The question is, who's going to win more titles, Dak Prescott or Derek Carr, relatively young QBs? I'll say that what Money just said, until they stop giving out only one Lombardi a year, it's overly optimistic to start counting how many trophies a guy is destined to win.
Likely to win one? How about that? Instead of who's going to win
right
one? Which one of those two is most likely to win one?
What I was thinking about as I was considering that is you know, especially, you know, so the last 14 titles have been won by 8 quarterbacks. So that leaves out a lot of guys, you know, Matt Ryan, Phil Rivers, Cam Newton, 6 seasons in, Andrew Luck, 5 seasons in. And none of those guys obviously have rings. So it does, though. Dan Marino is kind of the outlier of the all-time greats who never won a Super Bowl. This generation, the 21st century, by virtue, I guess, of it being a quarterback league, or QBs who we all consider to be really high-end guys, there are going to be a lot of guys that sort of fit that mold, too. They're just never going to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
There are a lot of really good quarterbacks that are going to play in multiple Pro Bowls and otherwise
and won't
that
win.
Never win.
Yep.
Who is the answer, though, Money? Who's Derek Carr or Dak Prescott?
I think I'll go oh, man, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
It is tough.
I think I'd go Dak. I think I would, just because of – I don't think Tom Brady is going to stop playing football for the next 4 years. I really think he's going to keep playing. And that team is just so damn good. And you've got to make the Super Bowl in order to win it. And when you think about what Atlanta was able to do, because, you know, when the Super Bowl comes around, weird things happen. The Giants beat the Patriots the 2 times. You know what I mean? It's just,
yep.
So just get there. Which one of those two is more likely to get there? I feel like Dak is more likely to get there based on the conference in which he plays than Derek Carr right now. So I'll take Dak.
Cindy.
I like your argument a lot.
Yeah.
Although Aaron Rodgers is in the NFC. So that's my only like problem there. But I think my gut says the Derek Carr pick, because while I agree about Tom Brady, I just don't think it's unlikely you're going to win even if he plays for the next 6 years. It's unlikely he's going to, you know,
make all 6 Super Bowls, right?
Right. So I think, you know, that Raiders team, their defense is improving consistently, and
they're young.
Their offense is it's a really dynamic offense. We'll see what happens with at their running back position this season, but I think
how about this then? I'll throw this at you. As I'm looking at which division would you rather play in? Because you got to win your division first to get into the playoffs, right? So now, which one of those two guys, let's just project over the next 3-4 years, do you think is most likely to win his division?
It is very difficult to look at the AFC West and determine who.
Right.
I guess the Raiders appear to be a tick better.
But with all those pass rushers, and like, that's the thing. I look at the NFC East and you think about the mess the Redskins are. The Eagles are still breaking in a young quarterback that's not ready. And then you have the Giants, who look like they made all the right moves.
Either.
But yeah, so I mean, that's
they don't have a running
back. I think I'd rather have Dak just because I could see them maybe running that division for a little while.
The Cowboys are a fascinating case as
but
we sit
Cowboys
here in
defense,
between.
Though
it's bad.
They've got some missing pieces.
Yeah.
But, you know, a year removed from 13-3, you look at that Cowboys schedule, and it's hard to imagine that they're in store for a repeat of that. You know, how good that team's going to be, how well Dak will perform in his sophomore season, yet to be determined. Yeah. Before we get to Cynthia synthesizing something for us, because money's going to run here any moment now, our pal Handsome Hank presented this to me, and I just find it fascinating.
Okay.
He said, just completely randomly, have you ever looked at the Colts Ring of Honor? And I said, no, I don't know who's in the Colts Ring of Honor. He said, it's rubbish. Look at who's on this list. I didn't want to go through it just because it is fascinating. Bob Irsay, okay. Bill Brooks is on it. 7 seasons in the NFL?
Yeah.
Or with the Colts?
With the Colts.
Bill Brooks, number 80, hangs in their Ring of Honor forever.
92.
What?
That stretch of Colts.
Ted Marchibroda, okay, he had 2 runs with the team, and the late 70s were pretty good for him. Chris Hinton, I think you can put him in there because he is the personification of why they're in Indianapolis. If John Elway doesn't say, I'm not going to sign with the Colts in Baltimore, the Colts never leave Baltimore, ergo.
Right.
Chris Hinton never becomes an Indianapolis Colt. So that makes sense. Here's where it gets weird. Jim Harbaugh.
He was there for a cup of coffee.
Jim Harbaugh played 4 years there. Why would Jim Harbaugh be in that Ring of Honor?
Near miraculous kind of victory over the Steelers. That's
he
it.
Had, yes. Near,
nearly had a, one of the great playoff victories in the history. But it wasn't. His most memorable game for the Colts was a loss.
Then you have, where's your dignity, Indianapolis Colts?
Removing the fans? Yeah, I saw that too.
Oh, the 12th man. Yeah, that's
it.
Had to take it out.
That's mean.
But then also, why would Eric Dickerson be in the Indianapolis Colts Ring of Fame? It was big news when they traded for him, but you know, he had a good season.
And you know what's great about that? Having
so.
Worked with Eric Dickerson last year on the radio, you know, he told the story and I'd never heard it. You probably know it. The both of you, but he had said that he wanted to be traded to Washington, and he was told he was going to be traded to the Redskins, that he had friends there, and they were making this run, and he was going to be their back, and he was going to win Super Bowls. He's like, man, I would put my head to pillow thinking about all these Lombardis, and I'm going to play for the Reds. He goes, and they hated me so much at the Rams that they traded me to Indianapolis just to spite me, just to spite me, because I was supposed to be a Washington Redskin, and I became a Colt, and he's in their Ring of Honor, a man who laments the trade that should have been, but I ended up as a stinking Colt. Can you believe this? And he's in their Ring of Honor.
That's weird. Marshall Faulk is in their Ring of Honor, also weird, you know?
Yeah, that was kind of a trade situation, too.
Yep.
Jeff Saturday makes sense. Peyton Manning makes sense. Yeah. But I don't know.
Handsome, I'm fine with that. Fine with Marvin Harrison. All good. That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's weird.
That
it kind of is a part of the conversation we're having of what kind
How
of team.
How long before Reggie can be in there? At least Reggie will make sense.
Yeah.
Reggie Wayne will.
It'll make sense.
Yeah. And they have to put
Mathis. They'll put Freeney in. I mean,
they'll
get some guys in there.
It'll look a little bit better. All right.
Around.
Money, you have to.
Hi, Money.
You have to head out there?
Yeah, I got to go do that.
Don't leave that booze
thing.
Some of it will wind up in my belly.
That is not being left.
MVP, we have Alex Gelhar joining us momentarily.
Yeah, he's going to be up in like 5 minutes or so.
All right, bring him on up.
One white guy with his side part steps out. Another tiny white guy with his side part steps in, huh?
Green Bay Packers enthusiast, fantasy football guru, and he's bringing in a long-lost elimination chamber for us.
Elimination chamber.
Whoa.
What's an elimination chamber?
Oh, you've never.
I don't know what it is either.
Well, it's very difficult. It's from the late Black Tie. He came up with something called the elimination chamber. He gives you 4 items, and then you have to say one of them. And it was always unclear. Well, the pushback was, so wait, are you choosing your favorite or the one that you want
to
kick
eliminate.
Out? And it was never clear. He could never.
Sounds like TD.
Yeah. It was never really clear. Quite clear what the point of
I guess
the elimination
his answer to that would be yes.
however you want it, however you want. Like, well, but then that's not satisfying,
right?
However, he has a good one for us. I wish you were here for because I think you would have some good answers.
All right,
but, we'll
sorry everybody.
there he goes.
My walk of shame.
There he goes, Matt Money Smith off into. into the Los Angeles afternoon, presumably his head filled with Chiefs,
happiness.
Raiders.
Anytime.
All right, here we go. Let's get to it now. It is time to synthesize it. Take it away, Cindy Freeland. Where's her green hat?
Yeah, where's my green
hat? Her green visor.
Okay, so based on this top one.
Wait. You can't go yet.
Okay. Hold on.
You need to have your green visor on if you're going to synthesize it. Okay. There you go. Very nice.
All right, perfect. Whoa, it's crooked today. all right, so we were talking about the, you know, top 100s, big top 100 time. We're almost to the top 10 next Monday's top 10. They already said who the players were. But so I thought I would like analytics it up a little bit for you. So what I did was when I first started creating models, I asked a whole bunch of coaches, former coaches, position coaches, coordinators, as many people who are football minds that have actually executed on the field as possible to help me come up with a rubric for each position. So quarterbacks, cornerbacks, wide receivers, everyone has a different rubric. And then I filtered every single player from this season or last season, 2016, through those parameters that the coaches had helped me set up. And then I sent it back to a couple of coaches to ask them. I gave them five or six by position on the things that they had said were important. And I asked them to create a top 30.
Wow, this is very involved, and I love it because the thing that I have discovered from the top 100 list year after year is that pro football players, as it turns out, don't know that much about pro football based on their voting, the voting results make me crazy.
So I went through a couple years, past years of top 100 data. So the players they don't put any O linemen. Like they get like they're like, we don't need you.
They always say, oh, you fans don't understand sports. Well, it's always you guys are the ones filling it up with quarterbacks and running backs.
The thing that I did, like, I talked to the guys at NFL Films who are like the most amazing people at our company. Like NFL Films in New Jersey is the coolest part of our company. And they told me like they get like over 900 players to vote. But the thing that is interesting to me is they vote in like November, December. So they don't really factor in the playoffs. So that you kind of do see that in the vote. You do see it in the results. So that was interesting too. But anyway, so I gave my list of what the coaches told me is important. I gave them five and six by position. And then I asked them to vote. Partly because I don't know if any of us outsiders who aren't coaches can accurately value like which position's more important than the other, right? Like, is a wide receiver more important than a cornerback? They're the same. They're all, you know, there's some discrepancy. Mm-hmm. So coaches came back and they gave me a list.
Funny you say that because I always say the more important to me with the top 100 isn't how it stacks up overall. It's how you rank a guy within his position group. That's the measure that's
agreed. Right. So I don't know, whatever. So my top 10 that I got back from the coaches was actually pretty interesting. So it goes Tom Brady's number one. Mm-hmm. Okay. I should have done it backwards more. Whatever.
More dramatic.
Yeah.
By the way, Alex Gelhardt,
I wasn't sure if I should speak or not.
You'll be happy here in a minute.
But make sure you follow Gelhardt on Twitter. You tweeted out earlier this week a fascinating little number that caught my eye. DeMarco Murray, who this season will not be seeing a whole lot of eight-man boxes, you would think, with the upgraded receiving core there, 4.1, he saw the most eight-man
boxes. Second highest percentage on his carries, passed only by Derrick Henry. So that team shows you what state that Titans passing attack was in, because both of their backs faced the highest percentage of loaded boxes with eight or more defenders in there. And both of them averaged over 4 yards a carry in those situations.
And Alex Gelhardt, like I mentioned earlier, not just a worthy follow, but you want to check him out on NFL.com.
Mm-hmm.
And buzzing about all fantasy football, Marcus Grant, Rank, mm-hmm. Co., the mm-hmm. rest of the
so wait,
gang.
Let's
check out the
list.
Podcast. I'm sorry. He was sitting there. I felt obliged.
No. I'm glad you did. Okay, so here's...
Back to synthesizing.
Okay, so from the coaches and then, you know, their parameters.
We knew Tom Brady was going to be one anyway.
Right,
so if you want to go to 10 down to one.
Your guy, Lev Bell.
Okay.
The only running back to appear on this list of top 10.
All right. I will say, and not to denigrate 26, he's dynamite. He is perhaps the best running back in the NFL. David Johnson would be the other consideration.
David Johnson
there.
Was the next one, and he was literally number 11.
Is that right? I'm surprised that David Johnson is that low, but I mean the difference there
that
would be
low, 11 out of 100 in a quarterback driven league where they're
I just thought he had a historic
just so you know winners do get pushed up higher.
Oh, is that right? Lev Bell to me, I as we sit here and people wring their hands about the fact that Lev Bell still hasn't signed his contract and everything, I kind of get where the Steelers
are
coming
from. Don't sign it.
I kind of – what? Really?
Pay the man.
I can see if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers saying, listen, man, you're dynamite.
Listen, man, you'd work on any team. Every team will want you. Your market will be giant. Pay the man.
I know.
And I'm not trying to, like
– I'm not trying to be overly cynical about how great he is, obviously. But
hey, if you don't want him,
he hasn't finished the season.
He can come play for the Lions anytime.
Okay.
We'll take him. Bring him back home. Go to
I love him. I hope he's a Pittsburgh Steeler for the next 10 years. But that's the real trick. Is he going to be playing for 10 more years? And is he going to be playing 16 games and making it through playoff games? You know.
I mean.
All right.
Go ahead.
Patrick Peterson.
Great. Love that. He is, to me, the premier cover corner.
Yep. Okay.
And returns
number
punts
eight.
Like nobody's biz.
Aaron Rodgers
should be higher, but I'm glad he's on the list.
Number eight. Why? What? That's.
I think probably because he had a slow start. I think he had a slow start last season because I asked the coaches to try to overweight. Like I can't change their opinion in general. I can't go in their head and change their biases. But I think I said to really try to focus on this season, which is why you won't see J.J. Watt didn't appear in it. Like he could only play three games. Things like I asked them to really focus on just this one season.
You're cool with that, Gelhard? Your guy,
no,
Aaron Rodgers,
higher.
But I'm going to tell you, when you see that the next few, you're going to see kind of why, right?
Okay, because, go ahead. I just find it outright. Aaron Rodgers, you know, people for the last couple of years, and then Tom Brady got over the hump again this season, and people then returned to Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers remains the most gifted.
I don't disagree.
Human throwing the football I've
ever
seen.
He had like seven games last season where he had an over 60% completion percentage outside of the pocket. And by the way, a normal completion percentage outside of the pocket is like 35%.
Right. And the other thing is, too, when everybody talks about when people are trying to do the math on quarterbacks and who the supporting cast is. I mean, again, I go back to Aaron Rodgers. Who has he played with? Jordy Nelson is good. And that's about
Jordy Nelson's good.
Like Greg Jennings was had a decent run as an NFL wide receiver, but really, who? I mean, talk about making stars out of guys. Aaron Rodgers has certainly done that.
You're right, but just when you see the rest
continue.
Of this list, I think
I'm just I'm critiquing as we go.
No, I like it. Okay, number seven, another Stiller. Number 84.
Okay, that's I guess about right. I would have him. I think I had him at five or six, but okay,
it's seven.
He didn't have his best season. However, he is in the midst.
Was still an exceptional season.
Yeah.
Right.
And his last four seasons.
His production
stand
doesn't
as the,
change depending on who his quarterback is, which is
well,
fascinating.
Mike Vick was a little kryptonite
okay,
for him for, the,
again,
for those
this
three
year.
Games.
This
right.
Year.
Right. But I will say Antonio Brown's four-year window is the that he is in the midst of right now is the greatest for any wide receiver in NFL history, and that includes Jerry Rice, Marvin Harrison, Calvin Johnson, or any other four-year window you want to take a look at. It's quite remarkable.
Number six, Von Miller.
Okay. I like that.
Pass rusher. Makes
sure.
sense, right? Number five. Tyron Smith.
I would say about Von Miller, though. That
woohoo! Finally, a left tackle!
Von does benefit, though, and has from DeMarcus Ware's presence on one side. Now I think Shane Ray will step in and provide the same sort of contribution.
Yeah, but I think if you talk about, like, because when I asked a few, like, just for notes or whatever, and it's like, who'd rather have one-on-one, Von Miller, blah, 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 and then no, everyone was like, oh, Von Miller.
So I mean, he's awesome.
While you're right, it's like, he's, I don't think you should penalize him for other people around him being good, but I think
he just physically is. It reminds me so much of Derek Thomas. I know I'm not the only person to say that, but I mean, he really
I can see that.
He is Derek Thomas incarnate, it seems.
Okay. So number five, Tyron Smith, right? Left tackle. Finally. Okay. Thank goodness.
I can't assess. I always defer to the professionals.
Oh, would you
on
like
this.
To know how I tried to assess this? How we
yes.
talked about it? Okay. So
I don't know how one 300-pound man leans up better against other large human
waist
beings
benders.
Better than other people.
Waistbenders. So
all
like
right,
you hear them talk about waistbenders, right? So I worked with a bunch of O-line coaches and asked them how to like, what's a waistbender? So we talked about it. So we created a 3D model where I can measure, do they keep their bums
no
down?
No way.
Oh, I promise. Do you keep your bum down? Do you keep your hips parallel to the line of scrimmage, and how fast do you back up? So, because those are some things to help.
Sand in his
waste.
Butt. Yeah, they call it.
Sand in the pants. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So, like, how fast can you back up? And, okay, so just so you know, Tyron Smith, fastest backup, hips down and parallel. So, all those things have to be the same. 2.4 seconds. He can hold it down and back it up fast, longer than anyone else.
That's
better
what
than anyone
said.
Else. Boy. Oh, boy.
That is what you just said.
Just so you know, the league average was about a second worse, so 1.4 seconds. And the elite average, so people who are considered the best, is about 2 seconds. So he's better than all of them, and he's kind of older. So I thought that was kind of fascinating.
That is some insight onto it. I'm telling you.
Lineman's butts. That's what I spend my offseason doing.
I say it all the time, but the thing that we all fall into, you know, not anybody who's ever watched TV thinks that they are legal experts because of the preponderance of Law and Order and LA Law and everything.
Or
else.
No.
He's out of order.
Yeah, where's the blood splatter?
Why isn't the counselor objecting there? I mean, if that were me, I would. You know, we all think that. We all think we understand police procedure from all the movies and everything. And in NFL terms, we all think that we know about offensive linemen.
Oh no, I
we
don't.
Hear people talk about it, and I have no idea. I wish somebody could figure out the math, and perhaps
I'm trying.
Done it here, Sid.
Oh, I'm trying, right? Like,
right.
We're trying to get better at it. Like, it was interesting. Okay, number four, Julio Jones.
All right.
Really hard to argue with that one.
No, right? Dynamite.
Number three, Aaron Donald.
There you go. See, guys are making some sense. Yeah. They get it.
Right. Like, and then number two is Khalil Mack. So, but the point here is you may have been mad about Aaron Rodgers being eight, but there's a lot of defensive players here that make a lot of sense, right? Like this year, Aaron Donald he's going to hopefully get paid too, right?
You say they factored in winning though? How is Aaron Donald so high?
I think that's probably one of those things where it's like he stood out so much, right?
And I know he definitely stood out on such a terrible team and he had a lot of games that he wrecked even if they didn't win it.
But like it seems, I guess I can only say based on the results that winning tend to factor in more because Matt Ryan last year probably wouldn't have been on many people's radars where Matt Ryan this year was in the top 20 amongst coaches.
Yeah.
But so I guess, you know, winning does change that equation.
I feel a lot better about my top 10 now that
I think this is a pretty good
top 10. I would reshuffle a little bit. I would put Vaughn over Khalil Mack because he stays on that left side he attacks the good guys. And there are more games that maybe not this last year, but in the history too, that I remember that Von Miller took over. And Khalil Mack had a very good year, but I don't remember.
Khalil Mack had more total pressure. So,
right. He had a lot
quarterback
of pressure.
Sacks, hurries, and
he was always in the mix. But I mean, you're looking at this thing and, you know, from like the couch show and stuff, talking with Coach Nolan, they always want to look at those guys and get to the ball and make the plays and win the games or turn the tide. And there just aren't as many I remember for Khalil Mack as somebody like Von Miller.
In fairness, I had like a week and a half to pull my methodology together. So I think if you were to ask all of the, more coaches, you'd probably the refinement of this top 10 or maybe the top 20 would happen. But I think that it's a pretty good sample. I mean, you could also argue you could make the case that, you know, maybe Julio Jones is three instead of four. Like that kind of thing is nominal to me.
Or flip him and Brown or whatever.
I would have Rodgers two. I would go Brady one. Three, I would have Aaron Donald. And then I think I go Antonio Brown, Julio Jones in that.
Hashtag no bias.
That's not bias. How is that bias? Oh, shame on you, Cindy. All right. So that's that. So we have completed synthesizing it. Now
we got
it is
one more thing really quick.
Lay it
on. Okay. So the people who are most like, these are for people to like pay attention to next year. People who are going to be big risers next year and people are going to make their first appearance. You ready for my I'll give you three of each. So the people most likely to make their first appearance on the list that are not rookies because that's a different list, right? I got Jordan Howard, AJ Boye, who's my favorite one, and Stephon Gilmore. Those are my three.
Those guys are going to.
They've never appeared on the list, and now they're going to.
Was Stephon Diggs on the list this year?
Yes.
He was?
He was. I'm pretty sure.
If not, I'd say he's going to get on the list, and he hasn't been there before.
Yep. And then most likely to be big risers, we got Joey Bosa, Mike Daniels, and Cam Jordan.
Ike Taylor, 1 year ago, said Derek Carr at number 100 on the 2016 list. He said he is going to be the biggest riser, and in fact, he proved to be the historically the highest
points.
Riser ever. Whew. Jordan Howard's lack of
he got snubbed.
He really did, and
he got snubbed. Bear.
And it does suggest that you're right that some players were voting during the season. Because if you looked back at Jordan Howard, the entirety of his 2016, it would be hard to not say he's not one of the top 100 guys. All right, couple more things here. Real quick, MeUndies, it's time to talk about. You talk about making your bum feel special. Treat your bum like a VIP. A VIB, right?
Very important bum.
That's what I'm saying here. The wardrobe, handsome, but it's not complete until you add the Me Undies, the feel good undies delivered right to your door, made in LA from sustainably sourced micromodal A fabric, 3 times softer than cotton. Whether it's 3 times softer or not, I can't assess, but I can tell you, oh, so luxurious, so soft. And 20% off your first pair. Use your special use our special URL, yes. MeUndies.com/DDFP. Like I say, 20% off your first pair. And they shall be yours. They'll be delivered to your door. You can also subscribe, get them every month. They do have fun ones. I have some ones with those little green army men.
I just got some panda ones today. I'm very excited.
I got a pandas. Practice pair because they might actually move the sponsorship to Fantasy Live, which would be great too.
Practice?
But I put it through the rigor of tailgating this past weekend at the LA Galaxy game. So out in the sun, playing cornhole, drinking some beer, walking around into the
stadium.
Did
you win cornhole?
Yeah.
Okay. But it was probably because of the MeUndies.
I lost like one game maybe. But
Gelhar, actually, so you were there tailgating. That's where the Chargers are going to be playing.
They are playing.
How did it feel tailgating on a game day?
I've been to that stadium a number of times. I get like a season ticket thing for the Galaxy every year. But I can't express how different it's going to be for NFL fans to watch a game in that stadium because it's so much smaller. It's such a different atmosphere. You're so much closer to the game. It's going to be bizarre, honestly. I can't even fathom what it's going to be like to watch a full-scale NFL game in that stadium. But it'll be cool. It'll be interesting.
I am really anxious to get to one of those games, at least one of those games this season. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I suspect that maybe it's counterintuitive, but the 30,000 people, I think it's going to feel louder in there, right? Aren't you going to be right on top of the...
Yeah, but it's kind of a big open-air stadium, too. I think it's very conducive to the acoustics of, you know, getting it as loud as possible in there.
Yeah, maybe you feel that way because you've only been watching soccer in there.
I've seen the Galaxy win multiple championships there.
I know, you love your soccer. That's fine. All right, let's get to it. It's time for the return of the Elimination Chamber.
Elimination Chamber.
Let's get to it. We have no idea how it works, but Gelhar floated this on Twitter over the weekend, and I was captivated by it. I don't know that I still have my answer for it.
I've been wrestling with it all weekend.
Gelhar,
still.
Lay it on us.
All right, so, well, there's these memes.
MVP, you got to play,
that
too.
Go around on the internet. It's the one gotta go. I think it's like a Twitter handle, too, where they'll put 4 great things, and you have to pick one to cast off. So
Black Tie should have copywritten that the Elimination Chamber.
They've been going around for a while, but I was thinking about it as we're in this golden era of television. Game of Thrones is set to come back. We've watched a lot of great shows go by the wayside recently. I picked 4 of the most widely discussed, I think, great dramas of this recent era, and they are The Wire, Breaking Bad, Mad Men, and Game of Thrones. So I ask all of you, which one gets kicked to the curb?
Elimination Chamber. Play it again. I'd like to hear it.
Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See?
So dramatic.
Cindy, we'll start with you.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a hard question, right?
A really hard question.
All the shows are great. All the shows have their own merits. They're not, you know, it's not for the same show. It's not for identical sitcoms.
Maybe make it back. Maybe work it backwards here, Cindy. What's the number one out of those 4?
Yeah, what one is safe? What one gets immunity right off the bat for you?
Breaking Bad.
I think so, too. But Game of Thrones, yeah.
That one, Breaking Bad.
Game of Thrones we haven't seen to its completion, so maybe that affects things. Mad Men, while I enjoyed it, it had its lulls over the course of its run. So and Breaking Bad, it started a little slowly, but once you get to the end of the first season, then it just
takes off. Yeah.
It's an action movie, nonstop, electric.
It doesn't hit its crescendo pretty much until the finale, that show.
Yeah, the finale is great.
Almost. You know, could say maybe it hits its peak in season 4.
I really like The Wire, too.
And The Wire, the second season notwithstanding, considered by many to be the greatest show of all time. MVP.
I actually don't watch Game of Thrones, so this is an easy elimination chamber.
Oh, wow.
For
Boo.
Me.
Boo.
What a technicality to get out on.
Sorry.
All right, back to you, Cindy.
I loved Mad Men. I really did. Uh-oh. But I felt like at the end of Mad Men, I was watching because
Dick Whitman.
You know what
Don
I mean? Like,
Draper.
You're pot
committed at that point.
Listen,
yeah.
John Hamm's really hot. So.
I heard that, sister.
Mm-hmm. He's like,
I could say that
right
as a straight man. Like,
dreamy.
That is one
handsome
guy.
I saw him once up in Los Feliz at La Poubelle. It's a really good restaurant up there.
It's a good spot.
And I was like, this is my favorite restaurant.
You know what famous celebrity I saw at La Poubelle? was Jason Mantzoukas, Rafi from the league. He's amazing. My celebrity crush that I
same
ran
thing.
Into at La Capelle.
Same
levels of I,
you know what?
I'm sure they'd both agree.
I have a thing where I can't – I'm not uncomfortable saying that I know that guy's handsome or that guy's handsome, but there are some guys who are just lost on me. Their physical charm, I just – it doesn't hit
doesn't,
for me.
Doesn't resonate?
John Hamm is one of those.
What?
I would never know. I would
How?
Never know. I,
oh, hey, you are wrong.
If I
you
watch him and when I watch him in Mad Men when he's burning that nail in the first scene, I get that John Hamm. But, you know, I would probably walk by him and not say
no,
like,
you wouldn't.
The stature,
no, you wouldn't.
The
in,
hair.
In person? No, no, no.
I know him. I know
you're
him.
You're in fantasy league with him, but I don't know.
I never
crazy.
Knew he was considered
Wait.
Handsome. I had to
what?
Be told. I said, I was
oh, my goodness.
I was talking to him once. I was talking to him once before I had ever seen Mad Men. And our mutual friend Sal said, "Do you know that that he is considered to be the most handsome man on TV right now?" And I said, "No, I had no idea. I would never." Now Tom Brady, I can see.
Okay,
his
hold
hands.
On. We're getting way off here. We got to bring it back to the elimination.
I can
chamber.
See.
Yeah.
We'll do
elimination
it.
Chamber.
There are important decisions to be made here, Dave.
I'm gonna have to. Well,
you're
maybe we'll do a handsome.
Don't have
maybe
yours,
we got to do a handsome elimination chamber.
We can do that next time.
All right.
But yeah, I didn't know that about.
Yeah, no, he's and. I just also thought it was ironic because poubelle means trash can in French. So like,
oh, is that right?
Yeah. So I
it's
was
a good
like,
place to go. To go. There
I know. I was always
couple
weird,
good
weirded
bars
out by me.
Birds.
Really, I love birds. Yeah, I used to live nice. Right there on Franklin. It's a great spot.
Yeah.
Anyways, but right. yeah. So
you're gonna do it.
I might go. I just felt like I was watching it because I like was like we were old friends. I had to get through. You know, like I was like I got to see the end. What happens? But it started to taper off towards. I think in the beginning it was amazing, and then it started to taper off. But you're right. We haven't seen the conclusion of Game of Thrones yet, so it could be terrible. It could totally ruin it.
I don't know.
I doubt it.
They released a new trailer this morning that looked outrageous.
It looked exciting.
Right, but
the one
but
guy's
again.
Sword catches on fire in the little trailer.
Beric Dondarrion. Yeah.
What? Yeah. So I
don't know. And I all this
I'm
time
I'm leaning towards Mad Men.
Gellhar now brings to mind the fact that, you know, all these years of watching Game of Thrones, and I love it, and I can't wait to see what happens, but I have no idea who anybody is. What name did you just say?
Beric Dondarrion.
No idea who
he
that is.
He popped up in, like, season three.
Who is he?
He, it's...
Baron Dondarrion.
We'll get there.
Who?
We'll do a Game of Thrones episode
who
later.
Who are
keep,
these people?
Keep deflecting. We need decisions. Are
Who's
you
Who's related to
out?
Whom? I don't know.
I think I have to. It's not because... Yeah. And reluctantly.
Yeah. Well, none of the... It's not an easy
right.
decision.
No.
Like, none of us are going to be happy kicking one of these
right.
shows out, except for Emma, because she's never
Gellhart.
Seen
it. I'm not happy about it. I'm just telling you that's the truth.
I don't know.
You got to get caught up, Emma VP. You have three weeks.
So, I've thought about this a lot. Breaking Bad was the show I probably treated the most as, like, a drug addiction when I was behind
no
and then I watched
intended.
Like all of it. Well, pun definitely intended.
Got it.
But that show is just incredible and the characters are great. I think I have to keep Game of Thrones because we've just never seen spectacle like Game of Thrones on television, nor will we probably ever again once it's done.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And you know what's also interesting about Game of Thrones to me is I loved the Lord of the Rings trilogy, not as much
Hobbit ones,
the
yeah. Hobbit we don't need to talk about
jazz.
Those.
But those three pictures I loved, and I would hold those up there with the Star Wars trilogy and some of the great movie franchises ever. And yet now, once you watch Game of Thrones, go back and watch The Lord of the Rings. It kind of feels childish.
Well,
by comparison.
The entire run of The Lord of the Rings was less than a season of Game of Thrones in screen time.
Yeah, true.
So that's a little bit of a rough comparison to give the two of them. And then when it comes down to The Wire and Mad Men, I think your complaints about Mad Men are somewhat justified, but you could also say the same thing about The Wire, in that it's a hard show to binge. Like, I love The Wire. I love its slow, deliberate brilliance and how they build things and unravel things, and it's so brilliantly constructed. But, like, it's hard to sometimes watch more than, like, an episode or two of The Wire in a sitting. And when I think back on Mad Men, I think what separates it for me and why I might keep it over The Wire is just the depth of the cast of brilliant characters
yeah.
that Mad Men offers. Like, you think about all the great characters that came and went through all the variations of their ad agency, the characters that passed away and things like that, and the arcs of Joan and Peggy and, you know, Roger and Bert and everybody, Pete, like, there's just so many, Well, I mean, he was a fascinating character to
Correct.
Watch.
Correct. You love to hate him.
He's kind of insufferable at the beginning. Then, yeah, I actually found myself later in the series, like, rooting for Pete.
As he becomes, in many ways, a worse human being.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
On some levels. By the way, my celebrity sighting, I once saw Pete Campbell in Barney's Beanery.
I saw him watching
the Syracuse Orange. He had a Syracuse Orangeman sweatshirt on, and it was March Madness, and he was just sitting in there by himself with the hood up, watching the thing, and he looked like he was about 11 years old.
I think he gets his haircut at the blind barber down the street.
Because
I saw him one time when I was in there in the chair, too. But I think for me, why I would keep Madman over that is because the roster and the depth, their bullpen of characters, for lack of a better term, is just so deep and so rich. And, you know, like Duck Phillips and all those guys that pop up. Like, to me, that depth is what overshadows the high level of great characters on The Wire, like Omar.
Doc Phillip goes to my gym, by the way.
Oh, nice. Oh, look at this. We got it all covered. We're seeing you people in these good TV shows.
It is with a heavy heart that I think I would push The Wire out just because I would find those others more rewatchable and for various reasons.
You know what? I think it's going to go in this order. Number one, for now, it has to be Breaking Bad. Pending the resolution of the Iron Throne and who shall claim it at number two. Number three, Mad Men.
Kicking out The Wire.
You are eliminated.
It's so close. Now,
it's close.
Wire cut.
To go back real quick, when you mentioned Lord of the Rings and the trilogies, that's another fun elimination chamber, is pick four great trilogies and which one do you kick out. For instance, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Back to the Future, Indiana Jones.
Or Godfather.
Which one would go?
Ooh, Godfather is tricky because the three has a drop off, but it's not atrocious. Now, if you talk about if we're doing the Indy Jones trilogy and we're doing what I always do, like you just said about the other thing, I just pretend
he had a last crusade and that was it.
That was the end.
It ended.
That was it. No more of this nonsense with Dr. Jones. He's got where's the dignity, sir? The
See for next time. Mull on that one for a little while. And like Back to the Future as well. Third one, the old Western kind of gets a little off the rails.
Uh-huh.
Pun, I guess, kind of intended again with the whole train thing.
Yeah,
but,
right. Well done.
So you Gellhart have to,
came prepared.
I think I would. Mine was like Back to the Future.
Really?
I love the beginning ones, but that third one, ugh, brutal. There's two good ones there.
And just for what it's worth, I'm not the first to say it. As a grown-up, Return of the Jedi, little soft, you know? Solo should have died as Harrison Ford wanted to. Then that movie would have had some gravity, had some stakes.
The end was still well. I mean,
seriously suggesting that you would get rid of Star Wars?
No.
I'm just saying.
He was just
what?
Saying.
I love the original, and I love Empire Strikes Back. But Jedi, not the
but
greatest.
Like it's safe, right?
But the, yeah,
Star Wars is totally safe.
The redeeming part of. Jedi is the Jabba stuff, except for how Boba Fett dies. There's no dignity in that death.
I think the
soldiers in the Star Wars universe, one of the great warriors we'll ever see, and he dies in the Sarlacc pit because Han Solo blinded, puts a stick into his.
As Adam Rank will tell you, Boba Fett's not dead. If you read more into the lore, I believe.
I have heard that is he going to be the guy in Force Awakens or in the new Force Awakens?
I don't know. There have been rumors. We'll see.
Emma VP, you're tired of this conversation and you're ready for us to go?
No, I'm not tired of this conversation.
I got a podcast to do shortly after this. So.
Fine. You know what? I'm done then. I'm calling it off. None of you. You're all eliminated.
Steve.
The only one. Eliminate Dave from this conversation. That's what. Now the three of you can sit here and do whatever you please with yourselves for all I care.
Elimination Chamber.
There we go. Steve. I love that one. Let's tweet that out. Well, actually, Emma VP, that's a good conversation. Let's make a VOD out of that one. That's what they call it in the business. What does VOD stand for?
Video on demand.
Video on demand.
Video of Dave.
And I also like Oh, yeah. That's a better way.
We'll use that now.
We should. That's a good thing we should do every show is we should let the fans vote on what they want to see turned into a video. You know, listen to it and then decide. I would nominate the synthesizing.
For sure.
There's a lot of information in there. I don't know, what did I come halfway through, three quarters of the way through?
You can like put more, like, we only like kind of described the methodology.
Oh, okay.
So you were there
for all of it.
Last thing before we do wrap up. Gellhart, what is the largest animal you could beat in a fight?
Largest animal I could beat in a fight. I don't just barehanded?
Yeah, no weapon.
I don't know.
Your cunning is your number one. That's what you have over any beast.
Like, is your intellect.
Well, if I mean, there's a lot of variables here. Is this just like Thunderdome where it's just me and the animal in a circle with nothing else I can turn into a weapon?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know, but like realistically, I'm not.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. I'm not asking you to talk in fantasy. I'm talking to you
or something, maybe.
A fox? That's all the
confidence. You don't want to go, look, somebody comes in here and tells you you're going to beat a wolf one-on-one.
Ike Taylor said he could beat a silverback gorilla, which he's wrong about, and Cam Jordan said he could beat a smallish bear.
I don't think either of those are even remotely accurate.
A smallish bear? You don't think a big 300-pound guy?
I could beat a fat bird.
A fat bird, like a penguin?
No, like a finch. Oh. Like a fat one.
What's the smallest animal that would beat you?
Oh, like all of them. I can barely pick up a 40-pound bulldog. Like, she's very rotund, but I can barely pick her up.
Dense, those bulldogs are.
She's really
Galhar,
dense.
The smallest animal that would beat me? I don't know, something poisonous?
That's right. Yeah. I think it's a black mamba.
Snake.
Yeah, it's a snake or a spider.
A spider?
Yeah, I could smush a spider, though. How's a spider going to get me? If it's like crawls. Thunderdome, Dave V. Spider, like that, well, I'm not afraid
of
you,
spider.
Well, if it's
small enough, you'd look at me like, where is the spider? And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, wow, my arm is turning
he's
purple.
Hanging from the top of Thunderdome.
Yeah, right above
stands onto me like Peter Parker.
Next thing you know, your arm's turning purple and your
dead.
Eyes are going cross.
That's
you're
it. Dead.
That's the end of that.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
What
stick
did
with
you say?
I said black mamba. A snake would. Oh, what beast could I defeat?
Yeah.
Well, there have been a lot of trials and tribulations along the way since we first started having this conversation. Every animal I float gets shot down by Ike or whoever else. Oh, you couldn't beat a donkey, I said. What about a donkey?
They could kick you really hard.
Yeah, but if I jump on his back, couldn't I, like, pull his eyes out?
I suppose. I didn't think of going that direction.
And I said a chimpanzee. People laughed. They said, oh, no.
What about one of those really big turtles? They're not very fierce. You could probably beat one of those, like, giant turtles. Like real slow.
That's true. If I could figure out, if I could flip him onto his back,
yeah.
Then I just jump up and down on him until he's no more.
Exactly.
You know,
or like if you flip him on his back, then you could just leave him there. You wouldn't even have to really execute him yourself. You know what I mean? Like you could just leave him there.
Well, that's what I talked to Cam Jordan about too. I said I think a shark would beat me even if he started on land.
You have no chance against on land.
No. Oh. No, if it's Conor McGregor v. Floyd Mayweather and you have to use one person, you have to use one combatant's rules, if I go into the sea, obviously the shark will make quick work of me. But what if we start on land?
Got it.
I still think the shark would beat me. How would I defeat a shark but Cam Jordan?
Run side to side, laterally.
He was savvy. He said You just stand there for 20 minutes until he's gasping
right.
for his last breath. Then you go and finish him off.
Or you could just let him, you know, you wouldn't have to even do it yourself.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have that shark blood on your hands.
But I think, like, if you went to try to kill a shark when he's on the ground and you, like, try to get him, like, he'd wheel around and bite, you know. I think you wouldn't. I don't think I could beat that one. Galhar was a part of one of our other greatest debates.
Animals implement in a football game, right?
Yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. What was yours?
I said like a hawk or something like that, or some sort of bird that was smart and coordinated that could help intercept the ball or ferry it to your receiver.
I think you just put like a really mean rhino or like a hippo or something like that right in the front.
You know what would be
them.
Good? What about a kangaroo? Because if you put the ball, like you turn around and hand it off.
Kangaroos are really, they're like a good tackler could probably bring a kangaroo.
Well, I was.
Oh, you think so? I think he would. Wouldn't he be able to jump back on his tail and like kick him away?
As long
and the
as
ball would be safe. You could never get the ball because he'd have
it in his
pouch.
As long as they don't make a rule where the tail constitutes an elbow or something, and he'd be down, you'd have to get the rulings on that. Because otherwise, yeah, the kangaroo would have great balance. It would never get knocked down. But if that tail counted as like an elbow or a knee, it's down.
Or a rhino. I don't know what the rules are. Like, if you could put the football on the horn, like, you know, then go, you know? Who's going to get
it? I think you have a blocker of, like, a hippo or a rhino. Hippos are really mean.
We need to talk about this some more, apparently. But we won't do it now. We'll do it at a later date. Great stuff, Alex Galhar. Give your Twitter handle.
At Alex Galhar.
That's
easy.
He stands on his own merits. He doesn't need that NFL next to
in
it.
On that Twitter game.
I don't put
early.
The NFL on mine either. Come on.
See, we all have dignity, you know? Cindy Freeland, terrific as always. MVP, Bartlett, everybody behind the glass. Will Kibitz with you later on. Remember, go subscribe, rate, comment, share with friends. It's been a thin slice of heaven.